Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Now, over the last couple of weeks, we have been talking about the subject, If I Be a Father. Hallelujah. Isn't it sad that God has to say, if I be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my respect? Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. Hallelujah. Isn't it sad that sometimes God has to feel like he has to remind us that he's our father? Huh? Shame on us. Hallelujah. I said, shame on us, where God has to remind us that he's our father. Amen. I said, amen.
Amen.
So based on that particular word, we have been talking about specifically spiritual fatherhood. Or you can even, if you like, spiritual motherhood as well. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I begin to explain to the church that, you see, first and foremost, spiritual fatherhood. Please, when I say fatherhood, I'm talking motherhood also, okay? I can't just keep fatherhood, motherhood, fatherhood. No. We will not finish the service. Amen. So when I explain that, you know, first and foremost, spiritual fatherhood is in Scripture. It's in the Bible. Do you understand?
Amen.
Now, the fact that some people have, you know, done funny things does not mean that spiritual fatherhood doesn't exist. Perhaps you had a spiritual father, you know, who has done crazy things. Do you remember some of the stories you told me, Sandil? You remember? There's a story you told me in a church where there were... I'll start it. Where I forget, you'll come and finish. Okay? So this gentleman, and it's a true story because he told me. Okay, here he is. Here. You'll ask him. So he told me that in a particular church, you know, back home where we are going in Bushbuck. So in that particular, I don't know which church, he will tell us if he remembers. In that particular church, you know, it's like, come and tell me the story. Or you've told me many. All right, tell them the story. But don't mention names. Yeah, but don't say.
Amen. So the church that pastor is talking about, it's a church back home where my beloved used to go. Amen. So there what happens...
Your who used to go there?
My beloved.
Your beloved.
Yeah. Amen.
All right. Continue.
Amen. So what they do there, like they have branches. So the pastors there, they select the ladies. So they make a list. So they give each other the ladies, the numbers of the ladies, so that you can... Go have your way with this one. Go ahead, have your way with this one.
This is not somebody told him. You heard the beloved used to go there.
Amen.
Imagine you are here, you have come for Jesus, but you are being selected and being chosen and being put in lists. Continue.
Yeah, so if a pastor in this branch sees someone in this church, he'll tell his friend, from the other branch, that there's a certain sister, you can have this one, and then they'll take the sisters, maybe at one conference, only to for the pastors, or invite the man of God in his church to introduce him to those ladies that he selected for him.
And what would they do? They would just, you know, greet them, or what was happening?
Yeah, they'll greet them, but if a woman, then eventually, they'll have their way.
Having their way means what?
For
oh, you understand? Okay. Hallelujah. So you may find yourself in such a situation, and maybe you might have been one of the people in the list. The fact that you are in such a corrupt place doesn't mean that spiritual fatherhood is bad. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not every man of God who's making lists. I don't have any list. There's my wife there. It's the only person in my list. I don't have any other list. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So not every man of God is bad. Not every woman of God is bad. So sometimes what happens is that the behavior of the small few now causes the whole world to paint every church with the same brush. To paint every man of God with the same. It's wrong. There are some very good men of God and women of God out there who love God, who genuinely love God, and who genuinely love God's people. Do you understand what I'm saying? And we shouldn't treat them bad because of other people, how they've behaved. We shouldn't stop honoring men and women of God because other people have misbehaved. There's a church here in Mamelodi, not far, Mamelodi, next to Dacha, you know. Before COVID-19, there was a church meeting in a school there. I mean, the things that you will hear, when the pastor comes to church, you know, it's like he can't carry his Bible. I carry my Bible. But there are pastors who cannot carry their Bible. So when he gets off his car, there are people who will carry his Bible. And then they have to walk behind the pastor. And they are not allowed to walk. They have to kneel. I'm not telling you something on TV. Here, Mamelodi. They have to kneel, for, like crawl, like a child, behind the pastor.
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, let's say you are in that church and you are kneeling, and you are tired of kneeling. Then you say, "Yeah, the man of God, come on, it's only that church where they kneel." Hallelujah. I also saw another one where the pastor is, the people are crawling and the pastor is standing on them and he's walking. The pastor mustn't touch the floor. Even Jesus was touching the floor. Who are you not to touch the floor? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. If that woman went and washed Jesus' feet with her tears, it means the feet were dirty. Why would you wash clean feet? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because of his walking. So I really, really don't want us to be a church that hates spiritual fatherhood or that looks down on it. It's an important thing in the body of Christ. We need certain men and women of God who are an example to us, whom we look up to. Some of us, you know, the things that we are going through, there's certain men and women of God who have gone through them and overcome. And their lives are a good example to teach ourselves how to overcome the same thing that they went through. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Even your amens are very suspect. Can I hear a loud amen?
Amen?
So, if you do not recognize spiritual fatherhood, you will not honor it. You will disrespect it. You will talk like to a man of God like you are talking to a five-year-old. Do you understand? And like I explained to you, some of these people have made serious sacrifices. Serious sacrifices for us to be able to have church. For us to be able to, you know, to be born again. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, as we were building the roof, at some point the church bank was, I mean, we. If you ask me, Pastor, how much is in the church bank account? There's 12 rand. How many rand? 12. Not the 100, 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12. But when it got to 12 rand, The work was not finished. We have to continue. So I called my wife. I told the situation. I said, look, this is the situation. And she said, it is what it is. So we had to now, you know, make a plan for the work to continue happening. And, you know, I realized that every time we have to delay our lives, we have plans, we have dreams of our own. But for the sake of God's people, for the sake of the work of God, we have to purposely delay. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
And then you don't value such people like that. Look at this guy. Come back here quickly. As you are fixing my mic, come here. No, you come. Look at him. Look how nice. Look. Is he not dressed nicely? Don't be jealous, please. Is he not dressed nicely? Some of you are so jealous. Very, very nice. Nice brother. That even my sister is saying, no, let's marry, okay? Let's. You are shy. Hallelujah. Please, it's not correct. Putti, come fix my mic quickly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Somara, play the keyboard. Amen.
Amen.
And this guy here got born again here. Here. When he got born again, you know, sometimes when he tells me his life, I'll say, wow, salvation, the blood of Jesus works.
Amen.
When he tells me about his past, I say, the blood of Jesus is real. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But look at him now as a brother. Look at him, he's getting married. Look at life is continuing. But somebody had to pay a price. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Somebody had to pay a price. So we cannot disrespect certain men and women of God who have loved us when there was nothing in us to be lovable. Then we disrespect them. Then we call them all sorts of things. Then we are comparing them. Yes, umbanja, umbanja, yaniyashaya, mara, uskosana, ngakchela, ngosia, ngakchela, uskosana, yashuma elivangeni. Look at Christians. Put your, this lady, this is your chair, okay? Thank you. Put your hands together for him. Put your hands together for Sunday. So this is my whole preaching is to for us to value certain men and women of God that God has blessed us with. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. Now come with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3. Sorry, chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll take it from verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14. When you see our keyboard player being late like this, they were busy hitting the roof. Because they finished off this morning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, he's not late.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14. Are we there?
Yes.
The Bible says, I write not these things to your shame, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Again, Apostle Paul, he keeps using, you know, this word sons. Establishing spiritual parenthood, if I can call it that. Hallelujah. Please, my mic is not correct. Please keep fixing it. Is it?
Hallelujah.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. I write not these things to your shame, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 15, I'll read it again. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So Paul says, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, ye have not many fathers. Hallelujah. So what does that mean? It means that not every man of God can be your spiritual father. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Not every woman of God can be your spiritual mother in the Lord. Okay? There are certain specific people who are your spiritual father or your spiritual mother. Hallelujah. So it's not everyone you see on TV is your spiritual father. Touch your screen, then it's your spiritual father. It's not your spiritual father. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
So we have 10,000 instructors. In other words, there are numerous men and women of God who when they preach, really their messages, they touch us. Do you understand?
Amen.
They transform our lives.
Amen.
They build us up, but they are not your spiritual parent. Even though they may be very anointed, even though they may be very gifted, it's not everyone who is your spiritual father. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Like, for example, one of the people who bless me extremely is Benny Hinn. I love that man of God. Heavily anointed man of God. True man of God. You know, one of the ways to see a true man of God is you subject them to time. Now, someone who over years have been a true man of God. No scandals, no nothing. Genuine true man of God over years. Then you know it's a genuine person. So Benny Hinn is one of those in my life. And I love him dearly. And I follow him and I watch him all the time. But he's not my spiritual father. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So it's, you can't just, everyone is your spiritual father. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So that's why Paul says we have 10,000 instructors. There are many men and women of God whom we listen to, who really bless us, but they are not our spiritual parents. Then he says, ye have not many fathers. In other words, number one, you can have more than one spiritual father in the Lord. Unlike naturally. Naturally, you can only have one father. They understand. But spiritually, you can have more than one father. He says you have not many fathers with an S. Is that in your Bible? It says fathers. You have not many fathers. So it means you can have more than one spiritual father. You can have more than one spiritual mother. But even though that is the case, it doesn't mean that all of them can be your spiritual parents. Only few can be your spiritual parents. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, why would God take us through a journey where we end up having more than one spiritual parent? I take you back to where Jesus said, call no man father. In other words, every single man of God, no matter how anointed, no matter how gifted, no matter how blessed, no matter how big the church, no matter how small the church, none of us come to the class of God. We all are limited. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
So from this man of God, there are certain aspects that God wants you to have through him, or to learn, or to receive. And then another one who is gifted in a different way to the other one. God also wants you to have certain, you must receive certain things from him. You must receive certain anointings and giftings and graces through this particular ministry, and so on and so forth. Because there's no one man of God who has it all. Even naturally, there's no natural father who's the best father in the world. Everybody has their limits. You know, one of the things that I have discovered is that as we are building the church, you know, when the church is young, it's full of a lot of young people. Do you understand? And as the church stays alive over years, these young people, they grow. And they become, you know, men and women in the community. So while these people are young, a lot of parents, especially the parents who do not attend the church, they fight their children from coming to church. And sometimes I wonder why that happens. For example, one of our young people in the church was telling me that, you know, their parents are fighting the person from coming to church. And you know, and the reason for fighting them is because they are saying you must focus on school, etc. And I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, I had a career expo. Did you hear me? I didn't say evangelistic career. I even did a presentation, which took me time. And I begin to show the people what is available for you after you finish matric. Amen. Do you understand?
Amen.
The guy who they are fighting against, that if you go to this church, your education, what?
Amen.
That time I'm advising them.
Amen.
Are we together?
Amen.
Also, as a parent, there are certain subjects that are difficult to speak with your children. Huh? Not every parent can now. Okay, let's talk about girlfriend. Do you have a boyfriend? Do you have a girlfriend? Not every parent can easily, freely.
Amen.
And when your child comes to church, we'll ask him, "You have a what? How old are you?" Hello.
Amen.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is that we are helping each other. We shouldn't be fighting each other. You as the biological parent, you want the best for your child. Me as a spiritual parent, I want the best for the same child. Because sometimes if we only look at the natural aspect, even though the child may be doing very well, the spiritual can come and trouble the child that the child cannot succeed. One foolish demon can just enter your child, and every sacrifice you made for your child suddenly goes down the drain. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So we shouldn't be fighting each other. We should understand that each and every parent, whether natural or whether spiritual, is very important to the person who has been parented. And we must value all these relationships. We mustn't fight them. Are you listening to me, somebody? Your amens, it sounds like you are not in church.
Amen.
So, that is why Paul said, "You have not many fathers." And that is why Jesus said, "Call no man father," because we are limited as human beings. Even though we are born again, there's still limits. There's only one person who didn't have a limit. That was Jesus. The Bible says that the Spirit was upon him without measure. Other words, without limit. That's why Jesus could just walk in water like, you know, it was nothing. That's why he spoke to the storm and said, "Peace be still," and it was nothing. There are things that sometimes are not obvious in the Bible. One time the Bible says that, you know, the disciples were on the water and they were traveling somewhere, and Jesus came walking on the sea. You know, there's water, the sea. Sea has waves. And Jesus was walking on it. When he got into the ship, the Bible said suddenly they were where they were going. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
It means the ship disappeared. The people in the ship disappeared. Everything that was in the ship disappeared. And suddenly they appeared where they were going.
Amen.
The Spirit without measure. But the rest of us, there's measure. There's limits. Nobody has everything.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Amen.
Now, for a very short time, I want to show you a couple of fathers that God gives us.
Amen.
In our journey of life.
Amen.
I'm going to give you 9 of them and then we're going to close. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And what I'm teaching you is basically also what I learned from my spiritual father, Bishop Doug Hewitt Mills. What he wrote in one of his books titled, "My Father, My Father." Hallelujah. He speaks about the 9 fathers of your life. Now, the first one is obvious, your heavenly father. That is God. Somebody say, "My heavenly father." That is your first, best, ultimate father. Do you understand? Next week, I'm going to show you another aspect about fatherhood, because Paul said something. In fact, it is Jesus who said it. No, I'm sorry. It's Paul who said it in the book of Hebrews. He said that, you know, when Moses built the tabernacle of the tabernacle of congregation. Hallelujah. That tent that had the Holy of Holies and the holy place, that had the mercy seat of God and the ark and so on and so forth. Paul called it a shadow of things to come. Do you understand? Now, why would spiritual fatherhood be a shadow? It means that there is something more glorious that is still coming. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But we'll tackle that next week. So, but for now, what is important is to know that amongst the many fathers that you have, you cannot call anybody a father if you don't recognize your heavenly Father. That is God Himself. We are what we are because He created us. We exist because He made us. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Moses called God the Father of all spirits. And you are a spirit. You are not a body. This body that you see in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it calls it a house. In fact, Paul even said that we are groaning because of this house that we are in. This house got corrupted thousands of years ago when Adam and Eve ate from the tree they were not supposed to eat from. And since that day, this house that we live in has been corrupted. This house, if you live and you follow this house, that means that you by nature will end up doing something that is not correct. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you live in a house. You are not the house. You live in it. You are a spirit that lives in a body, and you have a soul. What is the soul for? The soul is the thing that makes you aware that you are alive. The soul is the thing that has emotions. The soul is the thing that allows you to be able to, you have intelligence through your soul. You can think. You can perceive. You can understand. So you are a spirit, you live in a body, and you have a soul. So God is the Father of all spirits. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And when we say all spirits, we include angels. You know, in heaven, there's all types of creatures that we don't see here on the earth. You know, Paul was telling me about another one that is like, the Bible even calls it a creature. It doesn't even give us a name. We'll hear the proper name when we get in heaven. That has four heads. One of a human being, one of a lion, one of an eagle, and one of a cow. And it's in heaven. It's a creature. Amen. And that creature is a spirit. And therefore, God is the Father of that creature. He is the Father of all spirits. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, are you a spirit? If you are a spirit, then God is your Father. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So the first Father that you have is God, your heavenly Father. Amen. The second one, all right, now this one, they're not in order, okay? It's just 9 of them. Your second one, based on this list, is your Father in Christ. Someone say, my Father in Christ. Now, in the scripture we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 14, Paul said that I have begotten you in Christ. So, a person becomes your father in Christ when they lead you to Christ. Hello, my sister, how are you? In the street, you're in the street. I'm fine. Can I tell you about Jesus? I say, ish, I'm in a hurry, but okay, talk. And then you preach to that person and say, would you like to be born again? And the person says, yes, I would like to be born again. Then you lead them through what we call the sinner's prayer or the prayer of salvation. Say, Jesus, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, and so on and so forth. That person becomes converted through your preaching, through the preaching of the gospel. And because you are the person who preached to that person, so that the person got converted, then you become a spiritual parent to that person. Does this make sense? That's how somebody becomes your father in Christ. Because instead of them watching TV, instead of them doing washing, what are the excuses they give us, Mom Ruth, when we go for outreach? instead of them watching the house and what else? Washing and the other one that they like, ish, pastor, it's ginali mabaka. Instead of them having mabaka, they went out to search for you and tell you about Jesus. And you heard the message and you believed. You were born again through that life. Amen. Who sacrificed their time. Who sacrificed. Because you see, going to someone to tell them about Jesus is not easy. Even me, I've been a pastor for quite a while now. I still shake. Amen. When we go for outreach. And tell somebody about Jesus. Hallelujah. So when that process happens, that person becomes your father in Christ. My personal father in Christ, who led me to Christ, is a man of God called Temba Morogolo, who is a prophet now. So it's Prophet Temba Morogolo. Many years ago, we were coming from church. Even like I had been going to church for many years, but I was not born again. I didn't know. And we were coming from a youth service, and that particular Friday, they decided that, okay, we are going to walk everybody to their homes. And our church was in Acadia in town, so we started moving, dropping people, not with the car, like, you know, going in a group, and dropping people at their houses, and finally they came where we were living at the time. And we, for some reason, we decided to sit, you know, where we were living, it was a flat, it was, still is a flat, but it's a flat in Sunnyside, and there were chairs there outside where people could braai. And we went and sat on those chairs, and the conversation continued. And then Temba asked me, he said, "Are you born again?" To be honest, I didn't even know what being born again means. And I had been going to church, by the way. And I said, "Are you born again?" I said, "No." And then said, "You must be born again." And he started preaching to me. I can't even remember what he said. And then he said, "Let's pray so that you can be born again." I said, no, I'm not ready to be born again. Recently, I was telling Mom Ruthie the story. When she heard me that I said, "No, I'm not ready," she laughed at me. "That all of you are not ready." I said, "I wasn't ready." Because I was afraid that I will give myself to Jesus, then I go back to my sinful life. Amen. So for that reason, I said, "No, I'm not ready." And then he said, "Trust me. Just receive Jesus into your heart." Amen. And he led me to Christ that day. Hallelujah. Amen. So through that process, he became my father in the Lord. He led me to Christ. Even though I wish that, you know, man, Bishop Jakes would have led me to Christ. It wasn't Bishop Jakes. My father in Christ is Pastor Temba. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And I honor him. He always says, "No, man, we are brothers." I said, no. You are my father in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So I always remind myself, sometimes we move out, we talk. I mean, I don't even call him Pastor. I call him Tizozo. Sure, Tiza. That's how we talk. But I always recognize him as someone who led me to Christ. And he is very important to me. If he's not important to anybody else, he's important to me. Because he led me to Christ. And I value what he did for me. Because I didn't even know what being born again is. And look at me, I'm a pastor today. If he never led me to Christ, where would I be? What would I be doing? I understand him. Very, very valuable people. Number three. So the first one is your father, your heavenly father. The second one is your father in Christ. And the third one is your father in the ministry. Hallelujah. Somebody say, "Father in the ministry." Like, for example, this ministry, it's even in our name. Healing Fire what? Ministries. Hallelujah. So over this particular ministry, I'm the father over this ministry. By virtue of you choosing to be part of this church, which by the way is your church. Amen. Sorry, what I want to say, which by the way is your choice. Nobody is holding someone and say, "Hey, you stay in this church or I pull the trigger." There's nothing like that here. Everything is by choice. Sometimes serving God is very humbling. As I explained, these brothers who are sleeping here since Tuesday till Friday night, they were sleeping. And it's cold, eh? It's not that it's summer right now. We're in the peak of winter here in our country. Do you understand? And I will watch these people sleeping in church. I was like, what is this? Hey, I understand what I'm saying. So sometimes, you know, so some of them are saying, no, Pastor, then on Monday, I said, no, at least go rest on Monday. Okay? Just, you guys have been working. It's humbling. Do you understand? So when you choose to be in a particular ministry, which is a choice that you make, by virtue of that choice, the founder of that ministry, or the man of God in that ministry, or the woman of God in that ministry, becomes a father to you. Now, this person may have not necessarily led you to Christ, but by virtue of the fact that you are under their ministry, you become a spiritual son or daughter under that person. Are we in the same page?
Amen.
Ask your neighbor, are you still here? Are you still here?
Amen.
Is what I'm saying making sense, though?
Yeah.
By virtue, if you choose to leave Healing Fire Ministries and you go to Kendall's Delight of the universe of churches or whatever you want to call the church, if you go to that particular church, you that person who is the founder or the pastor, whoever, becomes a father over you. Do you understand? Yeah. So you say, me, I don't like this father, and then you go to that person becomes a father if you go to another church. Do you understand what I'm saying? Bishop Doug calls it a fatherhood relay. It's a relay. Because not one father has all the abilities. So God gives you a series of fathers to help you in your journey so that you become who you are born to become. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
So I'm your father in this ministry. I'm your father in this ministry. Stand up, mother of them. Mother of them, stand up, please. This is your mother in this ministry.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some of you are not saying amen. Did you come here by mistake or what? All right. I'm watching you carefully. Put your hands together for your mother in the Lord.
Amen.
And some of you are led to Christ, and also I'm your father over this ministry. It's a double situation. Amen. Then you have your biological father, which is also given to you by God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And which you must also recognize. Some of us, we don't have the best experiences with our biological parents. Do you understand? Some of us, you know, our biological parents really mistreated us, ill-treated us, and all sorts of things. But by virtue of the fact that you came to this world through them, they are your biological parents.
Amen.
And the opposite also. Some of us, our biological parents are the best. Do you understand? Not everybody has the worst experience. Not everybody has the best experience. But, you know, we have to value, you know, sometimes we don't understand why God allows us to go through certain things. But we have to realize that he said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. And so we have to see God as bigger than anything. And we have to now start asking him, if you had a bad experience, ask him, God, why? So that you can receive whatever you are supposed to receive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said, hallelujah.
Amen.
So I don't know, I'm on number what? Number four. So number four is your biological father, right? Who is also very important. And some of us are blessed to have the same person who's our biological father is also our spiritual father. But some instances, those types of instances, because of sin that came into the world, are rare. But every now and then it happens. Do you understand? Hallelujah. I just want you to put your hands together for God for giving you biological fathers. Amen. I said amen. You know, in this day and age that we live in, just for our father to be there is already a blessing. Whether he couldn't give us anything, but for the fact that he stuck around, he's a very powerful person. Many fathers couldn't stick around. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Even if they didn't have anything, but they say, it's okay, I will be around. I will try my best, even though I don't have much. I will take care of this child. It's my child. Hallelujah. And such people are very important. Amen. I said amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. For Jesus. So God also gives us biological fathers. Amen. Through whom we wouldn't be alive today. Then we also have what we call stepfathers. Amen. Some of us were not raised by our biological fathers or our biological mothers, but some of us are also were raised by our step parents. Now again, this is sometimes a bad situation and it is sometimes a good situation. Hallelujah. There are some people who, you know, their experience with their step-parents, when they even think about them, tears come to their eyes because of the horror that they went through. But then also at the same time, there are people who, you know, love their step-parents. Their step-parents took them like, you didn't even know it's your step-parent. There's no sign that there was a step. Do you understand? They loved you as though they were your biological parents. And they sacrificed for you. They did everything for you that they could possibly do. Such people are special people. And we must honor them and we must celebrate them also. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So I remember some time ago, I had a friend. At that time, when I was around 15, he was my best friend. So this friend of mine, you know, he was in a situation where the biological father left. Do you understand? And as he was growing in life, because you know, raising a child as a single parent can sometimes be very difficult. So this friend of mine was being raised by her mother, and they were struggling in life with her siblings also, with his siblings. And they were struggling, and life was tough. And this guy kept on saying to his mother, I want to see my father. I want to know my father. Because sometimes when our parents separate, you know, sometimes we are not told the full story. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, so it's like, you know, the children don't get the full thing, you know. And some of the people are bitter because of what happened. So they just say, men are evil. Men are evil, my child. Don't trust the man. Don't trust the man. Yeah? What do they say? Men are dogs. Mandorobo shakayandiri mandarazika lados. Who has heard something like that? We have heard something. Eesh. What else are they saying? Men are what? Men are trash. Eesh. Selfish. So sometimes those things come out of an experience that somebody had. Do you understand? So sometimes, you know, we don't tell the full story to the children. Perhaps that particular gentleman was really abusing you. But also you don't want to, you know, give your children that your father was an abuser or whatever. So you just protect the children from that guy. But sometimes when the children grow up, you know, because they don't know the full story, I want to meet him. Why are you not giving me my parents' details? I want to know my father. And then they become a lion in the house. So this particular friend of mine made a way that he got the contacts of his biological father. And he called him. And he said, I'm your son. I'm so-so and so-and-so. I'm your son. I'm so-so-so's child. When the father recognized the voice and recognized who he was talking to, he said, you must never phone this number again. Do you hear me? Amen. And he shut the phone and that was it. So you may be there, you know, giving your stepfather all this attitude you want to give him. And you don't know that the real one is saying, don't call this number again. You don't know. So enjoy the one that God has given you. Amen. Who loves you, who takes care of you as one of his own. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. So that is number what? Number five. Then number six is your father-in-law. Remember when I say father, mother is the same. It's father, mother, all right? So sometimes when you get married, the person who becomes your father-in-law can be someone who plays a huge role in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's another type of father that God has given you that can be very valuable to your life. All right? If you are not proud. Because, you know, proud people, when people talk, it goes in one ear, goes out the other, and there's no change. Do you understand? But your father-in-law, your mother-in-law, can also be someone extremely valuable to you. And as one of the fathers in this fatherhood relay that God has given us, who can be very valuable to your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. And all these people are important. All of them are important. Imagine you are in love with a certain sister, right? Or a certain brother. You are in love. Do you understand? Because when people are in love, you know, it's all nicer. I'm in love. They call you at night and talk for 3.5 hours. Eesh. When you hear their voice, ooh, you know I missed your voice. Eesh. My God. Now imagine you're in love like that. And then you say, I want to marry this woman. All right, or a brother says they want to marry you. And then when you present the situation to your parents, they say, yeah, who? What is he? Is he Zulu? Is he Xhosa? Is he? And you say, it's a colored. Colored! Colored! None of my children will marry a colored. And you are in love. You're in love. All of a sudden, your nice future marriage is now very sour. In the beginning. So someone who can say, oh, is this you are in love with this? Wow, welcome my daughter into our family. What a special person that parent is. Your amens are suspicious, aren't they? If they don't welcome, then forever you're, because you see, you can't separate family. Family is family. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if, for example, your father-in-law doesn't accept you, it's going to be a rocky patch for the rest of your married life. And even if he hates you, your wife loves him because it's her father. Or your husband loves him because it's his father. But they don't accept you. How sour will the marriage be? Do you understand? So these are very important people that we have to honor, that we have to love. Do you understand what I'm saying? And at the same time, you know, there are certain qualities in their lives that if you watch, you can learn and receive and apply them in your lives so that your life will be better. Hallelujah. I like how Luke, what's the time? I like how Luke, I don't want to be carried away. I like how Luke opens his book that he wrote. So he was writing to a gentleman called, I think it's actually in the book of Acts. He was writing to a gentleman called Theophilus. And he said that he began to write about what Jesus said and what Jesus did. In other words, we learn from what people say, but we also learn from what people do. Many years ago, after my father passed away, I was driving and the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want to show you the many things that your father taught you without him saying a word. And my father and my mother were married for 19 years. And in 19 years, I never saw them fighting.
Amen.
In 19 years.
Amen.
So God showed me that he was teaching you how to stay in marriage without... Some people, that's their marriage, the whole marriage, forever shouting and screaming. So my father never sat with me and said, you know, let me teach you how to stay married. We never had such an experience. But by just watching, I was learning. Hallelujah. So learn from all these fathers. All of them are important. Even the bad one is important. They're at least teaching you what not to do. What number are we on? Number 7. Have I given you 7 or I must give you 7 now? I must give you 7. All right. Number 7 is a father of a church. The father of a church. Now, because I've already given you a father of a ministry, so what is a father of a church? Now, there is scenarios where somebody has begun or founded a church, but over time, the person hands over the church to somebody else. For example, now maybe I'm old, and I cannot run the church as I used to run it when I was younger. And I bring up somebody and say, this person is in my stead. So that person now becomes the father of the ministry. But I'm still the father over everything because I'm the founder of the church. Do you understand? So sometimes when we found ourselves in such a scenario, you don't say, no, that is my father, that is not my father. Do you understand? We have to honor the founder, even though he may not be actively involved as he used to be. But for the fact that he risked his life, endangered his life, delayed his life, gave his life for the foundation of the church so that there can be a church. Even though after many years he's not the main guy, we must still honor that person.
Amen.
We must still love that person.
Amen.
Because God gave him to us to be one of the fathers who help us in our journey, in our walk with God. Hallelujah. So in a situation where there's a senior pastor and then there's other pastors, sometimes, you know, like for example, Paul, come quickly. This young boy, put your hands together for him. Is he a young boy? Eesh, young man. As young as he is, he told me that, Pastor, they accepted me to go and study in Soshanguve. And I said, you are not going there. I'm sending you there.
Amen.
I said, I'm sending you to Soshanguve. I want you to go start a church. Look at this young man. He's going to start a church. And you, even your eyelashes are starting to become white. You are not doing anything for Jesus. I'm not even talking about you. I'm talking about eyelashes becoming white. And you're not doing, I'm watching you very carefully. Now in a situation where the branch that he's going to begin is starting to grow, starting to be powerful, right? He will be the father of those people in the branch. But I'm the father over Healing Fire Ministries. Do you understand? So even in that branch, those are my spiritual children. Because I have sent him. Who sent you?
Pastor Kola.
Mustn't be confused. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for him. Because many people forget. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? Then there is a father of a movement. A father over of a movement. Because sometimes God calls people You know, and they don't just become a pastor of a church, but they become someone whom God is using in a particular move of God. For example, one of those whom I know is a man of God called Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. In Ghana, he is known as the father of faith in Ghana. Oh, sorry, the father of the charismatic church in Ghana is what I tried to say. Because in Ghana, most of the churches were very, orthodox types of churches. Do you understand? And so when the charismatic move hit Ghana, he was one of the forefront people whom God was using. And so now he struggled a lot. He even went to jail because of the church. Not that he was, you know, doing funny things. Because of the church. When the government were attacking the church, he would rise up and say, the government is wrong. To the point that the government started now watching him and wanting to destroy his... To the point they wanted to kill him. Nompumelelo. They actually wanted to kill him. And so through him, God used him so that the charismatic movement can enter Ghana. And through his life and ministry, a lot of churches have mushroomed in Ghana, have begun in Ghana, through one of them which I got born again, which is Lighthouse Chapel International. Hallelujah. So sometimes God just chooses people and uses them not just for a church but for a move that will impact thousands and hundreds of thousands and sometimes even millions of lives. Hallelujah. So we have to recognize it. We mustn't be proud. Say, oh, no, we are worshiping him. He's not worshiping him. God chose him. And God is the one who's using him for a particular move. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So we also have to recognize a father of a movement. Amen. And finally, the one that's most interesting to me is also what we call a father in sin. This is the person who teaches you how to sin. They are, if you follow them, they are your father in sin. The person who taught you how to smoke. I want you to have a You see, all of us are exposed to sin in one way or another. If it were not so, you would not need Jesus to die for you. And sometimes to tell you my story is difficult because my mother is sitting in the congregation. But I will tell you anyway. Because my life belongs to Jesus. So many years ago, when I was still in high school, there was a group. Why are you laughing, Mom Ruth? Many years ago, when I was in high school, there was a certain group of people I was hanging around with. Now, that particular group, they were a smoking group. And I was not a smoker. But you know, the one guy will hold a cigarette and puff and pass. So, but now it's coming to you. But what are you going to do? I puffed and passed. And so now I was part of the group, you see. So I was also now puffing and passing. So one particular guy looked at my puffing and passing and he said, no, it's wrong. Apparently, it was just ending in my mouth. And then, so the guy said, no, we have to allow it to, to go into your lungs. And then you breathe it out. Someone say, fathers in sin. They teach you how to sin nicely. How to sin correctly. My God. So we must be careful of such people. And these ones we must avoid. Hallelujah. Yeah. So for many of us, there's someone in our lives who was teaching us to do wrong things. Many times it was a friend who got exposed before you were exposed. And they were leading you and showing you how to do the wrong thing. Hallelujah. It's also a type of father. Because they are teaching you and you're also receiving. Oh, so I must Okay, get to her. Ask your neighbor, say, who's your father in sin? Some of you, that person is still your father. Even today, they are still your father. You are still sinning with them. They still check on you every now and then. Sometimes, you know, you say, I want to control my life now. This is a new year. I want to focus on Jesus. And then you start. You see, you start. And then you get a phone call. Hey, Dinsang, Chomiaga, Dinsang, Dinsang. And all your focus and all your, you know, I want this year, my prayer life will never be. Just one guy who comes and says, hey. And you see yourself going to a tavern, and you haven't been to a tavern in years. But because the father in sin has arrived, the mother in sin has arrived, all of a sudden you, the whole Christian, you are sitting in a tavern full of drunkards and smokers and what, you are also there. Amen. I know you don't want to say amen, because now this one is coming close to home. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody? So these are also called fathers, especially if you still follow them or if they still have some kind of influence in your life. Hallelujah. You know, to stop sinning is far easier than what we make it to be. Extremely easy. Just step away. If you avoid certain type of people, the appetite to do certain things will die. You don't even need to fast. You don't even need to pray. It's just the environment and the people around you. It's easy. So when I started moving around with these guys, they were teaching me how to smoke, and I was starting smoking with them. And one day they were smoking Zol. Do you know Zol? Pachi. Weed. What other name does it have? Marijuana, Zol. So they were starting to smoke. So we used to play soccer together. After the game, they will be rolling. And they will be rolling it. And then they will be smoking it. And so they will be puffing and passing. And I remember the first time it was nice. I was surprised. I won't lie to you, I'm in church. It was nice. To my surprise. Hey. So anyways, one particular day, Mom Rudy is dead today of laughter. So one particular day I was sitting at home, you know, and it just dawned in my mind that when you are alone, do you ever have the appetite to smoke? And I realized, no, I don't. So I realized that I smoke because I hang around with a certain people. And I realized, I said, I'm actually not a smoker. That was the last time a cigarette touched my mouth. Because I realized, no, this is not me. I'm doing this thing because of other people. So I said, no. And that was it. That was it, completely. Never again. Till today, I don't know how many years it's been. That's how simple it is. Just stepping away from a certain crowd, you realize that your life will change completely. Amen. Completely, completely. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Yeah. Because when you hang around with certain people, they will influence you. I don't care who you are. They will influence you.
Amen.
They will definitely influence you.
Amen.
So it's just a matter of stepping away. Stepping away. That little step can change your life.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you here so that you see, it's not an angel that is preaching to you. It's a human being like you that goes through everything that you go through. But God is changing my life, transforming my life. And as I stand here, I'm not perfect. I still make many mistakes, but I hold on to Jesus. And little by little, He is changing my life. And my light is continuing to change every day. Every day, my light is shining brighter. Every day. Hallelujah. So these are the nine fathers that God gives us over our time in life. And they're very important because none of us are born knowing God because of sin. We have to learn. And so God gives us people through the journey who teach us certain aspects of God as we continue. And someday you may grow up to be a father also in Christ. And I pray that you'll be mightier than me. And I pray, you see me, I'm a small church in the middle of Namapias. May you be the type of father who will be international, who will change thousands of lives, who will change millions of lives. May that be your destiny in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Put your hands together for the Lord. And let's rise to our feet. Hallelujah. Now, there are many people who make many mistakes, you know, because we are all gifted differently. So as you see me, you see I preach. Most of the time, I'm just preaching. But you find that as God is raising you, you're suddenly having visions. You are seeing angels. Jesus steps into your room and talks to you and tells you mysteries. No matter the experiences you have, no matter the anointing you have, a father is still a father and can never change from being a father. Even though you become a billionaire, multi-billionaire, and you rub shoulders with Bomutipe and them, your father is still your father. Even though he lives in a village and is not as educated as you are, he's still your father and it will never change. Do you understand what I'm saying? So a little bit of, you know, prosperity in any area of your life must not confuse you to the point where you forget your spiritual father. And the reason why you hear me mentioning some of my fathers here in the church, I'm doing it to honor them. Because the day that you meet them, you will honor them because I've been honoring them in their absence. And I'm not shy. And I don't feel belittled by honoring my fathers. No. I rather appreciate them because without them, I wouldn't know God. I wouldn't know them at all. I wouldn't know God at all without their lives. Hallelujah. Yeah. Healing Fire Ministries, we must honor the people that God has given us. Celebrate them. Love them. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. It mustn't be like God who said, if I be a father, where is my honor? Where? If I be a master, where is my respect? Hallelujah. We must learn to honor. We must learn to honor. Tell your neighbor, you must learn to honor. Tell your neighbor, we must learn to honor. Hallelujah. I want you to open your mouth, and this time, last week we were asking for forgiveness. This time I want us to thank God for the fathers that he has given us. Hallelujah. Now imagine you came from a family where your biological parent was the worst. And that's the only parent you could ever have. How would your life be? But we thank God that sometimes he gives us a teacher at school who loves us and cares for us.
Thank you for listening to the powerful Word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.